Very brief introduction, because some of you don't know William because you weren't in class last time we talked. William has had, as he will, I'm sure, tell you, some extraordinary personal experiences. So I won't mention those. I'll mention that he has been his worked closely with Robert Hall, who founded the Lomi Mind Body School and is legendary to many of us. William was actually Robert Hall's close apprentice for several years. Yeah, and afterward, William trained in Brazil as a medium with John of God. Okay. He currently works at the Family Therapy Institute in Santa Barbara, and so you can contact him through the Family Therapy Institute. I think he sees people both there and individually. Is that accurate?
I see most people there.
Yeah. Most people there, yeah. Okay.
All right.
With that very brief introduction, I will let William take it, because I think he's going to say the important things in his talk.
Be sure to have the microphone very close to your mouth.
Oh, he's not going to use it.
I'm not doing well right now. I'm going to try and do this without the microphone. Okay. So I just want to take a reading right now. Can people hear me? So. Raise your hand with one finger if any time during this talk you can't hear me. And I can, my voice projects pretty well, so I think I'm going to do okay, but let me know. Okay? So thank you, Spencer, for the nice introduction. And when I was here about a year and a half ago, we were in that smaller room. But the same feeling that I had there, I have here today, which is, your classroom has such a warmth, such a welcoming feel to it. It's really amazing. And I talked about that with people after I left. I said, Spencer really has an amazing thing happening with this class. So I think everyone knows Spencer's such a gift to the community, and you guys are all part of it. But just to let you know, I definitely share it, and I appreciate being invited back. So this morning I'm going to talk about the shared death experience. How many people have heard about the shared death experience? Okay, a few. Okay, good. I'm going to start by beginning with a story. It's a personal story. I have a 5-year-old daughter. Her name's Olivia. And she loves the game Crazy Eights. We always, it's like, if you come to our house, you're probably going to play the game Crazy Eights. One day we're playing the game, just playing with the cards, and she says to me, you know, a very common question for a 5-year-old, Dada, what happens when we die? I think those of you who are grandparents or parents know that that question comes up. Well, I'm a psychotherapist. I'm not going to let that question go by easy. And I answer like a psychotherapist, perhaps. I said, well, what do you think? She doesn't lose a beat at all. She goes, we go somewhere else. Then she looked at me and she said, it's your turn, Dada. I'm a psychotherapist, I gotta follow up. I said, where do you think we go? She says, I'm not sure, but it's good. Your turn, Dada. So, you know, this is a question that we have throughout human history. It's the most natural question. It's asked by 5-year-olds, and it's asked increasingly as we get older. I think one of the differences is, as we get older, I think there's more anxiety that comes with the question. So what's curious is that for much of modern civilization, and certainly in the beginning, This question of an afterlife was central. Plato and Greek philosophers would ponder this question, research it. And Plato said at one point in time, the answer to this question of the afterlife is the most important question. It's the answer would give us the frame that would tell us the importance and meaning to this life. Everything else doesn't make sense. Now, some of you who are familiar with Plato probably know that he was interested and, in fact, pursued various experiences, near-death experiences and what have you. But he never really came to a settled sense about what happens in the afterlife. In our modern American life, if we bring it present, we're quite fractionalized on the topic. We have religious views of various types, most of which, according to polls, 75% of Americans believe in that we go on. They don't know exactly where, but that's kind of a consensus. But the scientific community is increasingly, actually, resistant to this. They're asking, where's the proof? And so that's kind of where we are as a culture. Well, the shared death experience does provide compelling data for the reality of an afterlife, and that's very good news. It's very good news for those of us of which, according to research, suggests that most of us have a great deal of anxiety about death. So, what I want to do as I begin this talk is I want to lay out some definitions. First of all, I want to just ground down on what is the shared death experience. The shared death experience occurs between a dying person and his or her loved ones. What happens is a loved one who is in good health at the bedside of the one dying experiences some of the first moments of the dying person's after death. Now, this is a clunky, I'm going to go through this a couple times so you know what I'm saying here. But by what I mean by this is the loved one who is going to continue living shares in the initial experiences of the one who is dying as they pass over, if you will, into the next realm of existence. So what I'm going to share with you this morning is a compilation, really, the synthesis of these initial shared experiences after death. And this research comes from Raymond Moody. I'll talk about him a little bit later. But he's now got about 1,000+ case studies on this. I want to share some acronyms here because I try not to use acronyms, but I may go into them just by habit. SDE, shared death experience. NDE, near-death experience. And if you hear me say SDEers or near-deathers, that's those who have had the experience of the shared death experience or the near-death experience. Like I said, I'll try not to use them, but I can't slip into them. So here's what I want to cover this morning. I want to give the class, each of you in this class, a felt sense of the shared death experience. So we're going to do an experiential exercise for that. I want to clarify the various elements that constitute the shared death experience. And I want to address how the shared death experience impacts people, especially their beliefs in the afterlife. And then finally, I want to talk about how I and other therapists, particularly at the Family Therapy Institute, are beginning to work with the shared death experience to help our clients. So I'd like to begin with the guided visualization. And I'm doing this because this visualization will give a much fuller experience than I could ever explain to you. It'll give us something to really put our hands around. So I'm assuming that since you're in this class, you're familiar with guided visualizations. Okay, good. All right. So really all you have to do is just listen and follow along and let your mind and thoughts and feelings be what they are. This will take about 8 minutes if I do it right. And if you have any questions, concerns during this visualization, simply raise your hand. And my assistant, Theory Jenkins, is over here. She's an intern of ours at the Family Therapy Institute. She'll come around and help in any way that she can. I don't imagine anything will arise, but we do have Theory here in case something does. Okay, So if you would, get comfortable in your chair. We're going to begin the exercise. And you can close your eyes. Just waiting here. I see some doors being shut. So just get comfortable. We'll get started in a few moments. So take a few breaths. Really settle into yourself. So to be clear, this is a guided visualization and not an actual shared death experience, as that can only happen when you are with a loved one who's actually dying. This visualization will, however, give you a sense and feel for what a shared death experience is. For the purposes of this exercise, I'd like you to choose someone who has already died, with whom you were close. Ideally, don't choose someone with whom you are in a deep grief process with currently. I suggest a parent, grandparent, sibling, or close friend who has died some time ago. I'm going to be guiding you through a different death experience with this person. How this close relation actually died and whether you were present with this person when he or she died is not important. I'm going to be guiding your imagination to re-experience this death with your chosen loved one as a shared death experience. So take a moment to choose your relationship. During the exercise, I will refer to this person as your beloved. So unless you raise your hand right now, I'm going to assume you're all with me. Okay, good. Thank you. I'd like you to see that person, your beloved, in your mind's eye. I'd like you to imagine that you can rewind time and that now you're at the bedside of your beloved as he or she is dying. Even if you were at the bedside when he or she actually died, imagine anew. This will be a different experience. Now see yourself at the bedside. Your beloved is no longer conscious, and you realize that death is imminent. You have been holding hands and caressing your beloved for several hours. You become aware of a remarkable change of energy that seems to pass through you. This startles you, and you realize that your beloved has actually died. As you gaze at your beloved's face, a white mist rises above that looks like cigarette smoke, or a ghostly vapor wafting off a cold pond at sunrise. You hear music, beautiful music, that can best be described as heavenly. Suddenly the room becomes brighter and fills with a stunning white light. You feel very lightheaded and realize that you have left your body and are floating above your beloved's now dead body. Strangely, you can see yourself sitting next to your beloved's dead body, and at the same time, you are also aware that you are floating next to your beloved. You look at your beloved, who is suspended next to you, and you see that he or she is smiling, which is in stark contrast to the dead body you see below. As you hover together, scenes from the life of your beloved spring up around both of you. It is as if you are watching the movie of your beloved's life in exquisite detail. These scenes have a panoramic quality to them. As this life review unfolds, you gain a more profound understanding of your beloved, more than you ever knew before. Now, together with your beloved, you begin moving in your suspended state towards the corner of the room. You observe the room is changing shape and seems to be in a state of flux, almost blurry or warped. You see a tube that is opening near the ceiling, like a portal to elsewhere. You and your beloved drift gently into this tube, and upon entering, you are pulled rapidly until you begin to slow down, and now you are emerging into a heavenly realm. The landscape that surrounds you and your beloved is stunning. It is like being in a beautiful national park, except that the vegetation is glowing from inside, and you can see each plant's internal source of light vibrating brilliantly. Suddenly, you notice beings of light approaching you and your beloved, and you recognize them as family members and friends from your beloved's life who had previously died. They greet each of you with a knowing kindness that assures you that they will guide your beloved on his or her next step. You now become aware that this is a boundary which beyond you cannot go. You exchange a loving glance with your beloved that acknowledges goodbye for now. And in a flash, you are back in your earthly body, sitting next to your beloved's corporal body. The heavenly music has stopped. You listen hard, but there is only silence. As you gaze at your beloved's lifeless physical body laying on the bed, you feel strangely elated because you know that your beloved is alive and well in spirit. As you look around the room, the shape is normal again, and you wonder, did that just really happen? So, keeping your eyes closed, take a moment to reflect on your experience. And just pondering even deeper, what was this like for you? And then wondering, querying any conversations or experiences you have had with yourself or loved ones. Have you or anyone you've known ever had this experience? Or something similar. When you're ready, slowly, at your own pace, come back into the room. Take your time. Okay, I would at this time like to take a few comments or reflections from the group. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. But first, raise your hand if you've had or know somebody who's had an experience like this. I'm just going to count one. Okay, great. About nine.
Scary for me, got me scared.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. How many people felt scared by this? Sometimes, okay. All right. I'm sorry that happened, and I can't happen. Okay. Thank you. If you'd like to talk afterwards, I would really like to talk to you more about it.
I believe it's 12.
Okay. All right. If you want my card, I'm happy to talk to you. Okay. Okay, so I'd like to hear, if people are willing, what was that like for you? Like, any comments? Anyone willing to share a little bit? Please.
I just thought it was
kind of
bittersweet.
Bittersweet. So what was the bitter part? Uh-huh. Well, of course, that's why I'm asking. It's the, obviously, you're losing a loved one, and you're probably going back and re-experiencing some of that grief. And then the positive was?
That your spirit
is. Yeah. Obviously. Good. Thank you. Please.
I felt sort of a healing because I was not able to be with my father in the past. And with this experience, I got to be there and feel the joy of his joy, and that was very good.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I'm going to say this again. What's your name?
Mary.
What Mary shared is that she wasn't able to be with her father when he passed. So this was an opportunity actually to go back and have a very, I imagine, profound and healing experience. So yeah, and you know, like I said, this is not an actual shared-death experience. But if you can imagine having that experience with a loved one. Yes?
My father died a long time ago. But whenever I meditate, I talk to my dad.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me feel so good, you know. And he talks about it.
Great. Okay, so there you have somebody who you have a very special relationship with your father. So what's your name?
Kimiko.
Kimiko? What Kimiko shared with us is that she actually, in her meditations, is actually able to reconnect and have a conversation with her father, which is a two-way dialogue. She actually hears. So that's wonderful. Okay, any others? I'm going to get someone in the back. Thanks. Go ahead, sir.
So my mother died recently, and I was out of state at the back east. She was here. And she knew she was going to die, and because I had my own near-death experience, I was able to counsel her and help her. She was afraid. She was afraid of this man. And so I could just tell her simply some of the experiences that it's going to be so much okay and can't believe it. And so I imagined that I actually was physically there in this exercise. And see what would happen. It was very nice. And I can imagine that could actually take place. Even though I've never heard of shared death experience before, I just never heard of that concept. But I'll see you that.
Well, thank you. And your near-death experience, I'll be getting to, because I'll be tying it in with the shared death experience. And you're also bringing up a very important fact, which is why those of us in the end-of-life counseling community and therapists who deal with grief are working to find ways that we can apply what we're learning from the shared death experiences to our clients, patients who are in, you know, either facing an imminent death of a loved one or themselves, or are dealing with grief afterwards. So, but we're at the very front edges of this. So, okay, I'm going to take one more. Go ahead, way back. That is a great question. I haven't heard of those. I haven't heard of those. But my gut intuitive reaction is, of course. But I can't speak from any scholarly background on that. But thank you. Okay, I want to move on a little bit. I would love to hear more, as I'm sure the rest of you would. But let's move on a little bit here. So I created this visualization based on my own experience. I've had two near-death experiences and a shared death experience. And I also took some excerpts from Raymond Moody's newest book, which is called Glimpses of Eternity. And in this book, Raymond actually introduces, for the first time in the West, the concept of the shared death experience. And he actually has coined the term shared death experience. How many people are familiar with Raymond Moody? Okay, great. Okay, good. Wow. So Raymond is a psychiatrist and a philosopher. He researched and popularized the near-death experience with his first book, which is called Life After Life, in 1974. And we're going to be working a little bit with the near-death experience because it gives us a platform to jump into the specifics of the shared death experience. So, in short, in brief, the near-death experience is experienced by individuals who almost die. Some say they die and come back. These are brushes with death. They're fatal accidents, or near-fatal accidents, I should say. Car accidents, drownings, heart attacks. They're also kind of, I don't want to say common, but not uncommon when you're doing people have medical procedures, especially related to the heart. But these are traumas, and they cause the near-death experience. So the primary characteristics of the near-death experience are the following. Here are the main characteristics. The out-of-body experience, that's the rising out and above of your body. Then you see your physical body and kind of human life going on below you. I don't know if people are familiar, know this, but there is a new chapter of the International Association for Near-Death Studies. It just started in August of this year. I'm a part of the group. But the founder of this is Barbara Bartolome, and she had an NDE at St. Francis Hospital during a procedure. And doctors and researchers are very interested in these particular procedures because what people who have NDEs are able to do is they have the OBE, they're over the actual medical room, if you can imagine, the operating room, and they can go back afterwards, as Barbara has done, and told every doctor and nurse exactly what they said and did. Pretty compelling. Now, doctors don't like to hear this, especially in her case because it was medical error. But this, you know, once again, the evidence is starting to pile up here. The second aspect of the NDE is the panoramic life review. It's viewing your past life in vivid detail, exquisite detail, in fact, every element of it. There is also the tube or tunnel effect. This is experience of moving quickly through a rib tube or tunnel with a sense of gravity pulling you away from Earth, essentially, and to the light. There are the beings of light that come and visit the person experiencing the near-death experience. They're usually familiar friends or relatives. There are the heavenly visions and sublime feelings of peace and love. That kind of speaks for itself. And then there's the seeing of the light. This is the experience of seeing, feeling, sensing this brilliant, powerful, luminous light. Many call it a natural response is to say God or Ah or Allah, something like that. It's profound. So I'm going to say a little bit more about these experiences later. But I want to clarify the shared death experience. Raymond Moody has identified seven elements, and I'm going to go into each of these. Each of these elements was experienced in the guided meditation, or the guided visualization that we did. I've added one more because I'm not sure why Raymond didn't add this one, but I just want you to know that Raymond has seven, and those of us who are doing the research now have added one more. So let's review the elements here of the shared death experience. Question?
No, I got six, so please review them.
Oh, good. Okay. All right, so element number one, the mist at death. In the guided visualization, there was a white mist rising out of the body. It's described differently by experiencers as white smoke, steam, vapor. It drifts upwards and disappears quickly. Sometimes it has a human shape. But in my mind, this is where we get our notions of a ghost. Because that's really what the research says, that that's a close approximation. The second element is the lovely music or musical sounds. People define this as the most beautiful and intricate music they've ever heard. Heavenly or divine. Very pleasant and enchanting. The third element is the mystical light. This is really similar to what I just shared about the near-death experience. And it's similar for the shared death experience in the sense that it's extremely bright, extremely luminous. It emits a sense of purity, truth, wisdom. It evokes a sense of awe. Often people who come from a religious or spiritual experience or background during their human life will project onto this some of the religious views. You know, God, Allah, Yahweh, Tao, Buddha. Raymond says when he's in Asia and he's talking to people that have had the shared death experience, they come up with a lot. In India, he says they come up with all these different gods from the Vedanta tradition. So you can see how that can happen. But the light is ineffable. People just say that they have never seen anything like it, and they don't have the words to describe it. The fourth element, the out-of-body experience. This is fairly common in SDEs, and it's most common in the near-death experience. I use the acronym. If I say SDEs, that's shared death experience. But I did say near-death experience. So this is fairly common in the shared death experience. It's extremely common in the near-death experience. Sense of one's consciousness rising out of his or her body and then observing his or her physical body and that of the deceased below. The OBE is very, the out-of-body experience is profound because it separates one's consciousness from their human body and from their human life. I had two out-of-body experiences, one when I was 17 and one when I was 30 in an intensive care unit at Kaiser Hospital. At 17 years old, I had a high-speed skiing accident and immediately jolted out of my body. I couldn't make sense of this out-of-body experience, or actually any part of the near-death experience at 17 years old. I didn't mention the near-death experience or even really think about it for 11 years. That's how difficult it was for me to come into relationship with it. Now, you know, I grew up Catholic. I was educated from an upper middle class suburb. There just weren't any places in my life where I felt I could have a good conversation. This was my reality. The way I came realized that I'd had the experience was I was channel surfing one night home at my parents' house. And I saw Robert De Niro, the movie star, as I scanned through quickly, say, Rib Tunnel. I went forward a few stations, looking for a sporting event probably. And then I said, Rib Tunnel. I went back, and there he was talking about his near-death experience. And that was the first time, that was 10 years after the event, that I realized, oh my God. I started weeping in front of the television by myself, thinking, oh my God. I wasn't crazy. Someone else has had this. I still didn't have that many places to go with it. I went upstairs and talked to my mom. She didn't have a lot to say about it. So I kind of went back inside. A few years later after that, at 30 years old, I had another out-of-body experience at the critical care unit at Kaiser. My platelets had crashed, and I'd come into a hemophiliac condition, and I basically left my body and was above the ICU for probably about 6 to 12 hours. I'm not really sure how long. But what is clear to me in each of these experiences is that my own experience here, of course, my beingness, I suspect everyone's in this room, is not dependent on my human body or this human life at all. And that is just unequivocally clear to me. I have this experiential sense of it, and, you know, I could say I placed my life on it, but probably couldn't, you know. So that's what, that's the OBE, that's the out-of-body experience. I want to say something about this too, a bit more. This realization is probably the most profound realization in my life. And it's life-changing because I have a gut, intuitive, foundational sense that I go on, whatever that means. And it's a relief. And I'll share more about the impact of this on others from the research, but I'm just sharing personally here. Now, taking the out-of-body experience to the shared death experience, this is, let me say about a piece about this. This is two spirits. One who is dying, who has died, and is not coming back to this earth realm. And another one who is alive or is going to return to the human existence, to his human or her human life. And this person who's returning is completely normal, healthy. So this is why many of us who are doing this research on the shared death experience are saying that this is kind of a game changer. And I'll talk about why this is different than the near-death experience a little bit later in this talk. But these people are coming back from the shared death experience saying, this is what I saw, this is what I experienced, this is what I know to be true, and now we're collectively trying to get this information into the canon of our understanding from the mental health services about what life means. Now, we're just beginning this, and there's a lot of resistance, but I'll say more about that a bit later. So element number 5, the co-experiencing of the life review. This was described in detail in the guided visualization. What is striking about the life review is its clarity, detail, and comprehensiveness of the departed person's human life. Some say they see it as a large movie screen. Others say they see it as snippets. Others say they see it happening in panoramic, 360 all around them. Loved ones report that the life review was like an aha moment for them because it shed light on previously unknown experiences about their loved one. Profound experience that shaped this loved one's life. The loved ones report feeling deep compassion, understanding, and empathy. They say, now I understand why this person did what he or she did. Now it all makes sense to me. It's kind of the karmic unfoldment being seen. Element number 6, the change in geometry. There are many varied descriptions that refer to this altering of the physical world during this experience. The most common description is that the room changed shapes. Some refer to it as it's like we entered into an alternate reality. The room can be blurry or warped. The hard edges become softer. In my view, this experience is the person experiencing the near-death experience is entering into a different time-space continuum that is more closely associated with the spirit realm. That's just my opinion. So, element number 7, encountering heavenly realms. People often use the term heavenly to describe their shared death experience. They say what they saw there was like paradise, divine, heavenly, serene. Landscapes are brilliantly vibrant and multi-dimensional. Not just three-dimensional, not just four-dimensional, but it's like they can see the energy moving through life. They also report feelings, sublime feelings of peace and tranquility. Also during this journey, this is not the eighth element, looking at you, Spencer. This is part of this. There is often a boundary or border, and it exists in the heavenly realm. For some reason, this is where people say, there was a point at which I knew I could go no further. Sometimes it's a look from the loved one, the dying loved one, who just telepathically communicates, this is as far as you can go. It's usually very gentle. Sometimes it's a physical formation, a bridge, a river, a high mountain, a wall. But the experiencers of the shared death experience say it's very clear. It's time for them to return. The eighth element, and this is the one that Raymond Moody does not include in his research to date. It's the beings of light. It's these beings of light that the shared death experiencers identify clearly as friends and relatives of the departed loved one. They have come to greet them and guide them in this transition to their new home. There is a sense of joy at this reunion, but sometimes it is actually more a sense of business. Let's go, time to move on. And the one who's actually done a great deal of work on this is Michael Newton. I don't know if those of you are familiar with Michael Newton's work. He's a psychologist and a hypnotherapist who written many books on this. He wrote Journey of the Soul, Destiny of the Soul. He specializes in the space between lives. He's a hypnotherapist, and he regresses people back to the space between their lives. And this is where a lot of this data is now coming out, is that the relatives come down and help with the transition back to the spirit realm. So how common are shared death experiences? Raymond Moody says that when he's speaking to audiences about the near-death experience or about the shared death experience, he says usually about 5 to 10% of the people in the room raise their hands and say they had that experience or know someone who has. Now, interesting, right? When we did that in this room, I counted 8 or 9 hands. And I'm guessing this room is how many? 80? 70?
About 100.
About 100. So we're right within the statistical bandwidth. Very interesting. Okay, now that we have an understanding of the shared death experience, I want to talk about its impact. I shared a little bit about the impact on me with the part about the out-of-body experience. But here are a few common effects that Remy Moody has identified in his research. The first, loved ones report feeling a peace knowing that their loved one has died and is actually alive and well in the afterlife. Comments like, I know my beloved is okay. There is a sense of confident knowing that the departed loved ones are well. And this is a great sense of relief, as you can imagine. Second common impact, the loved ones report losing their fear and apprehension about death. It's really a simple letting go of fear and anxiety about death. It's not a major, oh, I'm just done with death now. It's more like it's a real gentle kind of natural letting go of anxiety and apprehension about death. Third impact, a refocusing. When they come back to the earth, to their human experience, human life, a refocusing on one's purpose in this life, a new frame emerges for this human life. Comments like, I need to do my work here. I'm not going to be here for long. I've got to get to the reason I came here. A real profound sense of knowing that there's a purpose for being in this dimension. Now, my example, I'll share just briefly about this. I said, I grew up pretty conservative in a suburb and was actually, I went to a prep school and was doing internships with financial-oriented, stock brokerages, commercial real estate. And as I got more and more into this experience, you know, say this, this happens consciously and unconsciously. You don't have to realize you had it, because I share with you, I was not conscious that I had this experience. But if you look at where I came from and where I ended up, pretty shocking. My high school classmates at my reunion say, how did you go from that person to having worked with refugees in Central and South America for 5 years in your 20s, and these other spiritual interests that are pretty bizarre, really, for a Catholic boy. I mean, it's true. And I attribute it to this. And mostly unconscious. I didn't become conscious of it for quite some time. The fourth element here, or fourth impact, is loved ones expressed a certainty about the afterlife. There is an assuredness about seeing, that they will see their departed loved ones again. A common quote, it's a quote from Raymond's book, "I know I will see my beloved again. I know life goes on." Okay. I want to say another thing. Okay, so let's get to the research side of this. And this is very compelling. You know, Moody in the 70s thought that the research he was providing on near-death experiences would provide sufficient evidence for a ground well of support in the mental health fields for the afterlife, for an acknowledgement that this is likely or more probable than anything else we're holding in our minds, like extinction, as a, like there's nothing after we die. But there were many skeptics, primarily in this medical scientific community. The most common critique was that the near-death experience was attributed to a dying brain. That the response was a biochemical response leading to hallucinations. And in fact, much of the medical community, the scientific community, labeled this experience as the fear-death experience. Did not give it much credence at all. And this has continued with a few avant-garde pioneers within the medical community. More and more, actually. But this is still the mindset. Now, but the shared death experience is completely different in one categorically significant area. The person having the shared death experience is not dying. It's a healthy brain. And it comes back fully to report his experience. This seems pretty difficult to argue against. Yet Moody has said the shared death experience is mystifying, as there is no settled language to explain them. Science is uneasy with phenomena that cannot be rationally explained. Furthermore, scientific method, which is what we need for validation, needs predictable replication. We don't know why shared death experiences happen to some and not to others. We just don't know. So if you apply hard science, we're still on a pretty slippery slope. Finally, as a family therapist, I've witnessed and researched how the shared death experience offers loved ones tremendous relief from pain and suffering, especially around, clearly around grief and bereavement. You know, as a therapist, I see my job primarily as reducing people's suffering. So if shared death experiences can be a way of helping people, those who are curious, you know, or ask about it, we're not leading with this at the Family Therapy Institute for sure. We're not saying, hey, you know, we're not talking to everyone who's facing grief or someone who's dying. We don't bring this up per se. But people are asking questions and say, what can you tell me about what happens at death? Then the appropriate opportunity is there for us as therapists to say, well, there is this new research that's coming out. You may want to look into it. And for those people, we're specifically developing protocols to help people facilitate a shared death experience. And this is something that I've been focusing on. This is in part why I'm here today, is to begin to offer education to people in our community, in Santa Barbara specifically, that this is a possibility for people. And we're working for ways to facilitate this experience so that if you have a loved one who's dying, maybe there's ways we can facilitate it. So I have actually developed some protocols, and I have begun working with people in this way. Okay. And I just want to share one other thing, which Spencer has been kind enough to pass out. We have groups now that are focusing on this, and there's a group that we're starting next week. If people are interested, talk to myself or Theory after this. But this group is really about coming into relationship with your experience with the afterlife or death and dying. And also, we'll be presenting more research to inform you, more exercises to look at this. So it's really the goal of the group is to be very supportive. You know, we're not so much, you'll see that I have a bias based on my experience, but I meet people wherever they're at. So, but that there's those groups that we're starting now to help people who have questions around this. Okay. How are we doing on time?
About 5 minutes.
Okay. Let me close with this then. I want to give you an example of someone I worked with on the shared death experience. So about 6 months ago, a family friend actually called me, one of my mother's best friends. She'd been dying from ovarian cancer for about 3 or 4 years. She called me and she said, William, what's going to happen to me when I die? She knew that, you know, I'd had a couple of near-death experiences and that I'd lived and worked with John of God as a medium. So I share with my experience with her, those experiences and what I've shared with you today about the shared death experience. She said to me, my kids are not interested in this. They're not the least bit spiritual. They're not going to want to hear or read about any of this. So I shared with her a few protocols. Basically, I'll just give a headline to this. I basically provided her a map of what the shared death experience has taught us about what might likely or could happen, hoping that if we brought her awareness up a level, she could actually maybe link into those experiences and have some free will about bringing this shared death experience about for one of her loved ones, for one of her kids or a loved one or a friend. We practiced this for 3 or 4 sessions, really. It was informal work, but it was a few hours. A few weeks later, she died. And 36 hours after she died on Friday night, middle of the night, and on Sunday morning when I awoke, well, she awoke me, and I felt her. I felt her presence. I knew it was her. I felt immense joy. I knew it was Sandy. I just knew it. And she was just so happy. I mean, she was blissed out. The contact was brief. It was all telepathic. I asked her, did she have a message for me to deliver? And she said, I do. And I want you to tell my kids and loved ones that I don't have to wear shoes up here. I said, you know, and I said, okay. You know, when you're a medium and you get these messages, you know, we realize that when you deliver them to the recipient, you can really be considered bonkers. That's a rather strange message if you think about it. But I did deliver it, and the kid said, oh my God. For 3 months, we were telling her to put on her slippers that she was going to die from pneumonia. So it was totally relevant. And that was her trying to say, I'm here. I'm okay. I've gone on. That same night, well, let me tell you actually in real time what happened. 2 weeks later, her daughter calls me and says, William, I know that you were talking to my mom about dying. I want to share something with you. I hope you can help me with this. So I was sleeping in the next room when my mom died, and I remember getting pulled out of my bed and seeing in the distance, excuse me, a girl with blonde hair. I thought it was my daughter, but when I got close, I could see it was my mother. She turned and smiled and said, I love you. You see, I'll be fine. And she turned and went away. Then her daughter said she awakened back in her bed terrified. She went into her mother's room quickly, looked at the bed, saw that her mother had indeed died. She said, "Oh my God." She had a sense of peace and gratitude. So, you know, I want to be clear, I'm not sure that my work with Sandy contributed to her daughter's shared death experience. But I sure would like to know. Because if we can, as mental health professionals, people in hospice, if we can facilitate this experience for people, it is so healing. So healing. Changes completely our sense of what death means. Maybe death isn't death at all. Just a transition to a better place. Okay, I think we're good. I'll take some questions if we have time. I'm happy to answer. I know that the time's pushed about up.
I think could we have a hand for William and then come up and ask him to be the victim?